Profile series. I'm your host, Matt Higgs, the FF Educator, joined as always by John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. This is the Devontae's Tez Walker rookie profile episode. Tez Walker was a sleeper darling heading into the season. That momentum has only gained. The truthers are standing strong with Tez Walker. We'll get into whether or not me and John are in on that truther status here, starting with his background, getting into his tape, talking analytics, and tying it all together in a neat bow with some actionable fantasy advice at the end of the episode. So, John, without further ado, let's talk about the North Carolina Tar Heel by way of Kent State.
I really, really wanted to, like, Devontae's Walker in January when I started this process, Matt. But I have to be honest to the tape study and the model. And unfortunately, he has been one of the fallers in this process over this past 2 months. So who is this young man? He was a three-star prospect in high school, and he originally signed with North Carolina Central. If you don't know, that's an HBCU school at the FCS level. But when he arrived on campus, it was COVID. And if you remember, the FCS level, the fall season was postponed until the spring. And Walker actually never played a game for North Carolina Central. The only reason I bring that up is because that's going to lead to problems at North Carolina with the NCAA, which is absurd. But that's what happens there. So he ends up transferring to Kent State. And he played two seasons for the Golden Flashes. In 2021, there really wasn't much. Five catches, 124 yards, and one touchdown. I would say that was kind of like his real true freshman season, but it was his second year since he graduated high school. And I remember I liked, he was a sleeper in CFF leagues for Kent State in 2022. And you know Matt? He broke out big time. 58 catches for 921 yards and 11 scores. He was all MAC that year, and he was all academic MAC also. I was really excited for him at this time because you look at him, he logged 63 receptions for 1,045 yards and 12 touchdowns. I was hoping that a Power 5 school would be interested in the young man. Matt, he got what I hoped for. He ended up transferring to North Carolina, but you know what? The NCAA wanted to get their nose in this. They said you couldn't transfer twice, which is, we could do a whole show on the ridiculous rules of the NCAA. Yeah. And he had to sit out some games until they gave him permission to play. He finally suits up in 2023, but he only plays eight games for the Tar Heels. And Matt, there's some great catches on tape for North Carolina. At the end of the year, he had 41 receptions for 699 yards and seven touchdowns. He was named third team All-ACC. I do think he would have benefited by staying in school, Matt, but he decided to go to the NFL. I am not as high on him as I was last summer or early, maybe in October. What's your film study say of Devontae's Walker?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, the Tez Walker tape is tough because there's not a ton of it, right? There's not a ton of it at UNC. You mentioned he didn't even get the full season in. And, you know, I'll lead by saying, John, that, you know, you can tell that he didn't have even a full season of Power 5 tape, right? But let's start with the positives here. I like his pass-catching ability. I think his hands are what's getting a lot of people excited. So let's lead with that here. I think he's got reliable hands. He wins body positioning battles. So he does put his body where it needs to be in order to win those contested balls, in order to win those jump balls. And I think he reacts well to off-target passes, overall, there's good mental concentration. I think he fights through traffic well. He holds on to the ball through contact. You see that contested catchability. You see good hands. Why do you see that, John? It's because he struggles to consistently separate. You know, you can't blame it on the quarterback play here. He had good quarterback play, you know, with catching balls from Drake May. And it's really, he's an underdeveloped, he's a raw route runner. And I'm not blaming him. You know, we have 1 year at Kent State and we have half a season at North Carolina, but he's just not there in terms of his route tree. He struggles to separate. There are, you know, he does have good footwork, John. You can see him. He shows the ability to make defenders bite at times, but it's inconsistent. And for me, that's a huge piece of the puzzle when it comes to evaluating wide receivers. If he can't consistently separate and hold that separation at the college level, it's tough to realistically project you'll be able to do that at the next level. Back to the positives, though. He's a fluid athlete. He moves around the field well. I think he moves just as well east and west as he does north and south. And I would define his speed as smooth. You know, he gets going well off the line of scrimmage, and he builds that speed. He carries it well through his whole route. Not a pure burner, but not slow by any means either. I do think that he's a little bit limited in terms of he's going to do most of his damage before the catch. And maybe part of that is, you know, just really not stemming out that full route tree yet and figuring out exactly, you know, the best way to scheme him. But North Carolina was pretty much having him run vertical, you know, some underneath stuff, but not even like a ton of slant work from what I saw, you know, some comebacks, but he overall just looked raw, John. And so there's upside here. There's excitement. I understand why the Tez Walker truthers are holding stout, because there is plenty of upside and ceiling. But man, John, this screams another year in college football, right? If he had hit, you know, had just gotten back to it. You know, I know the quarterback situation isn't great at Carolina. Well, now he's allowed to keep transferring. You know, I wish he had transferred up and kind of just gotten another year under his belt and developed a little bit more, because the tape just leaves you wanting a little bit more. But, John, I'll tell you what never leaves you wanting any more are the resources available over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. We have the super active Discord with trade advice, personalized roster advice, rookie draft pick guidance. You have the 2024 rookie guide available now, those one-on-one draft strategy Zoom calls. You have the in-depth and accurate dynasty Devi, and most importantly, rookie rankings here. Every rookie broken down with a full tape profile, over 70 tape profile reviews in the system at this point, available for you to get in on. All of that available for just $5 a month over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard, or 15% off now with that annual sub. All right, John, we've talked about the tape. We've talked about the background. Let's plug him into the model. I don't want to lead you here, but I imagine there might be a couple question marks here.
There are question marks. And I'll say this, though, Matt. The model likes him more than my film study. That's where my conundrum is, because I really don't like the film. And I think you were very good at highlighting the technical details and what he needs to do to improve. So I have some questions on that. Let me look at some of the positives on the model. One, his ADOT was 18.2. Matt, that's unbelievable. We're looking at a 12 as a benchmark. He's getting thrown the ball deep down the field. Why is that impressive? His yards per reception over three seasons is 16.8. So they are in sync with each other. I wonder if he's a one-trick vertical threat, or if he just gets that deep crosser and he just beats someone. Because in the 40, he ran a 4.36. That's also a very nice number. But I don't think he's a technical route runner. I really don't. I don't think he has great hands. And why do I say that? A 58% catch rate. Matt, that's not very good when you have Drake May throwing him the football. And I'm not a big believer. I don't necessarily love PFF's grading system. But Matt, they gave him for the season at North Carolina basically a D+. So they had some questions about him also. And when I watched the tape, It does not match the model. I agree with you. He should have stayed an extra season. I just think he needs to run more routes. I really do. And I think he needs some technical coaching to be coached up. And I don't know if they're going to do that at the NFL level, Matt. I mean, how often does a player actually improve their technical skills as an NFL prospect? The coaching staff works on other items, other things at the NFL level. But at the end of the day, Matt, even though he has fallen, what should our viewers know and fantasy football fans know about DeVonta's Walker?
Yeah, let's put it all together, John, and give out some actionable fantasy football advice. Starting with the anticipated NFL draft capital, I do, you know, just from everything I'm hearing, it does seem like he's still going to go day two. I think he'll be a late day two selection, 51 to 102 overall. I think closer to that 80-90 range, so round three. But as long as he hears his name called day two, John, he will be a third round super flex rookie draft pick at the absolute lowest, because he does have a lot of support out there. So my expectation, 301 to 304. That's where I expect him to land. And if he does land in that range, John, we're calling it a fade here. 0 to 10% exposure to DeVonta's Walker. You know, you get into the fourth round. Okay. I can get behind that. I could get some exposure to Tez Walker, but I just don't see it in the early third round. And it's not even so much that I don't believe in Tez. It's that there's just so many talented guys that get me excited that I can use with my third round pick. You probably know the names because we've been breaking them down, you know, throughout this entire rookie draft cycle, NFL draft process. So you know the names I'm excited about. I'd rather have those guys over Tez Walker with an early third round pick. So it's going to be a fade for me. You know, he falls into my flex filler tier, wide receiver three, wide receiver four, you know, and in any, you know, wide receiver 40 on a given week is probably where he's going to average out. But you mentioned it, John. He's a deep threat, right? So I think best case scenario, he's Gabe Davis, right? And he has some big wide receiver 1 weeks. But then you have to, you know, better in best ball, right? Because he could have some weeks where he's only getting, you know, two catches for 18 yards. And then you're sitting there with almost a goose egg, right, in your starting lineup. So I think it's a tough spot in terms of my fantasy football value comparison. You know, he comes out in the rankings in the same spot as Darius Slayton for me. It's not a great place to be. It's not the worst place to be. Again, a guy who you're going to have on your bench, you rotate in, you had to put him in the flex spot as injuries pile up or bye weeks pile up. It's not Tez Walker. It's Tez Walker relative to where he is at this point in his development in this strong class. So I hate to say it, John, but it is a fade for me on Tez Walker. I want to like him, but I'm just not there yet. But John, I promise everyone who is checking out the action over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard is in on it. They are there on the resources, and they are very happy with the Discord, the rankings, the rookie guide, the draft strategy calls, so much great stuff available for just $5 a month over at patreon.com/rookiebigboard. And as always, we appreciate you checking out this rookie profile.